Hello, everyone, and welcome to Always Choose Orange. So today's episode is for anyone who is making something and either feels like they don't know how to approach it, or if you're revising something and it's starting to feel a bit stale. So I also realize that's not super clear, so I'll give some examples of what I mean when I say that. And the examples I give will be based on novel writing because that's what I'm currently immersed in. But even if you're working on other creative work, such as visual art or music, I think there's something in here for you as well. So hang with me, even if writing isn't your main thing. So this week, I was working on my novel revisions, and I got to the scene, and as I was reading it, it was starting to feel a bit boring. The scene was fine in terms of what happened from a plot perspective, but I really felt like it needed some extra sauce. So I tried out a few different ways of starting the scene, and just by adding a few paragraphs to the beginning, I was able to fix some of the lackluster prose and help it feel more exciting. So my first go-to when I feel like a scene isn't hitting the way I want it to is finding a more exciting way to start it. For me, that's just seemed to be a way to really tap into what the scene is about and help breathe life into it. And a week or two ago, I was reading Shea Serrano's book, Basketball and Other Things. And my goodness, that man is incredible at writing. And he's super, super good at doing what I just said, which is starting a scene in a really exciting way. So Shea Serrano writes collections of essays about hip hop, basketball, and movies. He's been a journalist for a long time, and he has at least 4 books, possibly more. I've read 3 of his books. They're all amazing. And in this book, Basketball and Other Things, it is a collection of a bunch of short essays that Shea wrote about basketball. But he doesn't approach it in, like, that sounds boring. Like, if someone would say, hey, this book is about a collection of essays about professional basketball, even though I enjoy professional basketball and grew up watching a ton of it, I would not be waiting in line to read that book. But how he approaches all of these short essays, aka chapters, is absolutely fascinating. So one of the chapters is he sets it up where it's a fictional round of the NBA draft where there's 30 picks and each team is picking a fictional basketball player from a movie. So like he has Air Bud getting picked at number 28 and he has all these different people from different movies getting picked and explaining why they deserve to be picked at where they get picked in this fictional draft. He could have easily wrote that scene as just a top 30 list of these are the top 30 cool fictional basketball players from movies, but instead he chose to go that draft angle, which I just felt like made it so much more exciting to read. He does this throughout the entire book. Another chapter is a fictional court hearing between Allen Iverson and Dwayne Wade. And if I remember it correctly, Dwayne Wade is suing Iverson for his position in the top 10 best NBA players of all time. And Iverson is countersuing for one of Dwayne Wade's championship titles. And it is absolutely genius. So hilarious. He has another chapter where it's where would all of these famous NBA players be now if they had different names? So he like tweaks their name and it shows like, you know, maybe this person would have worked at the post office if they didn't have the name they had. So it's just kind of fun and silly. But there's a lot of insightful things that he talks about too. He has another chapter called Which Version of Michael Jordan Was the Best? And he ranks all of Michael Jordan's seasons to find out what the best sort of iteration of Michael Jordan was. I highly recommend that book. Even if you don't like basketball, just from a pure constructing a piece of writing perspective, it is absolute genius. I found that to be a tremendously helpful sort of tactic, I guess, or strategy for me whenever I get stuck with something, which happens a lot more than I wish it did. And the way that I think about this is through a phrase called turning the gem. I first heard that phrase from Rob Bell, who is an author, speaker, podcaster that I actually got a chance to talk to back in episode 9 of Always Choose Orange. Up until 2011, Rob was a pastor, and one of the things that he pulled from sort of the tradition of rabbis in Judaism was this idea of turning the gem. There were teachers over the years who saw, the Hebrew scriptures as a diamond that you look through, and every time you turned it, you saw something else in it. And one of the most fascinating examples of that concept is a book by Rabbi Lawrence Kushner called God Was in This Place and I Did Not Know. And in that book, Kushner examines, there's a story in Genesis 28 where Jacob falls asleep and he has this dream of this ladder going up to heaven. There's these angelic beings going up and down. And when Jacob wakes up from this dream, he says, "Surely God was in this place and I did not know." So this book, it has seven chapters, and each of them shares a completely different understanding of what Jacob meant when he said that phrase. And it's super cool. But anyway, so turning the gem works as a form of interpretation or analysis. And there's a lot of, a lot we could go into from that standpoint. But today I want to look at it for its creative potential instead. What I mean by that is using this idea of turning the gem as a revision tool. So if you are working on a piece of writing like I currently am, and I'm going through and looking at each of my chapters in this, 110,000 word novel, and I'm line editing because I have the plot down, but I need to make sure that all of these scenes are hitting the way that I want them to. I want to make sure that there's some humor in there. That they're exciting and that nothing in it is boring. So I'm reading through each chapter, and if I get to anything that is boring me or that I feel like just isn't up to its full potential, I start figuring out how I can turn the gem and look at it from a different perspective. So, as I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, oftentimes it's just changing the start place or the ending place. So, a couple of the questions that I ask myself as I turn the gem when I'm looking at how to start a chapter in my book, I started asking different things like, what if I started this with an establishing shot? So an establishing shot is something from the film industry where if you're starting a scene, an establishing shot is sort of a really wide shot that shows the whole landscape of where the scene is taking place. So if you're thinking about Harry Potter, there are a ton of establishing shots where they do this often where they're changing seasons. And you'll see this sort of wide shot of Hogwarts in that lake, and maybe it'll be winter or summer. That's an establishing shot. So how to do that in writing is you start the scene with describing where the scene's taking place. And there are a lot of writers who do that super, super well. So that's one thing I ask, because I don't typically do that. So I ask, hey, what if I started this scene with an establishing shot? And sometimes I'll write it out. I'll write a couple paragraphs of what the scene will look like. What does this town look like? What does it smell like? What does it sound like? What are the people doing? So I'll just kind of start with this establishing shot and then sort of zoom in on our characters. I also will ask, what if I started this in the middle of some dialogue? So what if people were talking and I just kind of jump in from that standpoint? And then I'll write that out. Or what if this started in the middle of some action? Or what if I, jump this section off with a philosophical musing? What if I muse on, the symbolism of one of the things in the scene? I just did that with a part I wasn't sure on how to write, where I start sort of talking about the symbolism of the shepherd's staff and just sort of musing on that before going into another scene. So find a series of questions that you can ask yourself as to, how do I want to start this thing? And I think that could easily be applied to music too, where if you have an idea for a song, maybe you're a producer. What if you started with the drums this time? What if you started with the vocal melody? What if you started with the chord progression? Whatever you're not normally doing, try starting it from a different place. Try turning the gem. Another thing I often ask is, okay, if I have the start right, what if something else in the scene isn't working? What if I wrote the scene from a different character's point of view? Maybe I need to focus more on a certain sense. Maybe I need to talk about what the character is hearing. Maybe I need to talk about their thoughts more. What are they thinking during this scene? What are they saying? What are they doing? How does their body feel? Those are all access points to looking at your scene from a different perspective. What if a character started thinking? What memories come to mind when they're doing this? Maybe you even close your laptop or your notebook and you rewrite the entire scene without looking at it. There are so many different ways to turn the gem, look at the scene from a different perspective. So, yeah, I know that's a very simple thing, but I never had anyone put it to me that bluntly before. And it's something that I do all the time because my stuff doesn't come out the way I want it to most of the time on my first draft or even my first couple drafts. So, building up a list of questions or access points for you to be able to, quote unquote, turn the gem and figure out how to look at your work from a different angle, I think is super important.